We welcome you to worship here at College Park. Excited to be back together again this Sunday. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship, and the way that we do that, there are pew pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests to find that pew pad and then to write your name down and give us contact information, check the appropriate boxes, and then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. We certainly appreciate that. We do ask, once that pew pad gets down to the end of the aisle, or end of the pew, excuse me, if you could send it back to where it got started. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out those pages that were used today, that'll help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. Reminder about a couple of things. First, we are having children's time today, right after the first hymn. So all the kids will come down here and meet me for just a couple of minutes. This schedule is listed there for the week. We have upcoming events as well as opportunities for the week. Draw your attention to a couple of them. We have the last week of preschool day camp is this Tuesday from 9 until 12. We have the youth all-in summer series from 12 until 4 on Tuesday. And then Wednesday evening at 6:30, we have our summer series, our church-wide Facing Unknown Storms series. We have 6:30 will be a sandwich and salad supper, and then the prayer and Bible study will be following. Children's child care and programming is provided during the Bible study time. We had a great week of children's camp for our first through sixth graders this week. It was phenomenal. Our youth and our adults did a great job leading them. We had a lot of guests and neighbors of people, and had a great time. Had 30 children registered, and they were all excited every day. So it was a great week of Bible study and crafts and activities and worship and lots of great stuff. So thankful to everybody who made that possible. Let's see, Donna Bates.
I hope most of you or all of you are now aware that we are producing a new color pictorial directory for our church. If you have not had a chance to schedule your appointment through the online process, we now have the appointment sheets available outside of Smith Hall. The photography dates are September 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, and September 21st and 22nd. The directory will be professionally produced and will include the names, addresses, and phone numbers of all church members. And every family that is photographed will receive a free directory as well as an 8x10 color portrait. This year, we are also offering your choice of an 8.5x11 directory or a 5x7 size directory that is perfect for your purse or your coat pocket, or you can choose to have a directory on CD. Our mission is to provide a directory that is both flexible and fits the needs of every church family member. Your family is needed to ensure that we have a complete church family directory. Please sign up now if you haven't already. If there are questions, you can contact the church office and they know how to contact me. If you need transportation, same thing, contact the church office and then they can contact me and I can make arrangements. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. That is a lot of work that Donna is having to do and all the people that are involved with that. And so we're thankful for that effort and any help that you can provide by getting your names on the list so we can get all those nice portraits done. We would appreciate that. I want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We are certainly thankful for your presence today. We would like to give something to you. You've already given us your information on the pew pad, and we thank you for that. If you're a guest, we'd like to give something to you. Just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers will come down the aisles, and they will recognize you. They'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on currently in the life of our church, and you'll find a little bit of the history or the story of College Park. So thank you very much for being a part of worship today. It's almost August. That's hard to believe. It's almost August. Summer goes by so quickly. And I think about all that we've done just in the month of July, just all that has happened just in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and all the ways that God has shown up and blessed us. And my question for you this morning, as we come to worship, it's easy for us to be distracted by all the things that we've got to get done today, or we're getting ready to go on vacation, or we've got deadlines at work, or there's all these things with our kids. And it's so easy in a busy world that we live in to forget all the things that God has done, all the ways that he has blessed us. So this morning, as we begin in worship, may we consider how time and time and time again, God has shown up right when we needed him and blessed us more than we could ever have done on our own. That's why we worship. Let us prepare. Pray with me. Now, Father, in the stillness of this moment, we pause to say thank you. Thank you for being in this place. For your word reminds us that when we come together to worship, you are here also. And Father, today, we need to know especially that you are here. We need to be reminded of your presence. And that all those other things that are in our lives that are distractions from you, that keep us from you, all those things that would pull for our attention pale in comparison to you. Help us to begin and end our day with you. This is why we worship. You created us for this moment. Hear us as we sing. Hear us as we pray. Hear us as we give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh,
invite all the kids. Come on down. Here we go. Rebecca, you can come sit down here, sweet. Come sit down here. There comes Christian. Okay. Everybody, good job. Good to see everybody this morning. Now, I'm going to do something a little different, okay? But I need everybody to make sure you're crisscross applesauce and you're not touching anybody else, okay? Make sure you're not touching anybody else, okay? I'm not going to do anything to you. I promised Caleb I wouldn't do anything to you or I'd give you 100 pastor pals, okay? So, you have to follow my instructions, okay? I won't scare you. I won't do anything like that. All right, I need crisscross applesauce. I need you to close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Be real still. Be real still. Keep your eyes closed. What I want you to do in your mind, I want you to imagine being with Jesus, okay? Take three breaths. Real deep. One, two, three. Do you see Jesus in your mind? You and Jesus hanging out? Maybe you're at the Sea of Galilee. Maybe you're hanging out with Him. I don't know where you are. Okay, now open your eyes. Now. Seeing Jesus in your mind, in my mind, sometimes helps me. And here's how. Have you ever been like really busy? You've got lots of stuff to do? Yes. It's called school. Christian says it's called school. I need everybody still. I need everybody still. Leah, Michaela, I need you looking right here. Right here. Thank you. Yes. Sometimes we get so, so busy with school and other stuff that we forget that who's the most important person in our lives. That's right. Jesus. Many times we get so busy and moms and dads are just like this. We got so many things. There's a story that Pastor Raymond's going to talk about in just a few minutes. You heard the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000? Yes. What did he feed them with? How many fish and how many bread? Two fish. How many loaves of bread? Five loaves. Are they right? Yeah. Okay, good. All right. Two fish, five loaves. That was close. You did good. But he fed how many people? 5,000 men. And there were probably at least that many women and children. Some people say 15,000 people could have been there. And they had how many fish? Two fish, five loaves of bread, right? That fed everybody. How? But sometimes, how could Jesus do that? Some of the disciples, he is a miracle worker. He does things in our lives that we go, how did he do that? But you know what? The disciples asked the same questions. How are we going to be able to? They just had, this boy had just a little bit of food. Jesus reminded the disciples through that story and all the people that were there that if you just remember, Jesus is the most important. We stop in our lives when things seem so big and so busy. If we stop and we close our eyes and we remember that Jesus is with us, there is nothing that's impossible for Him. So no matter what we go through, remember to stop and to pray and to remember Jesus is with us. Okay? Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for that simple reminder. Feeding 15,000 people is nothing for you. Sometimes we face so many things that are hard and difficult that we don't understand. But there is nothing too difficult for you. All you want us to do is hang out with you, to follow you. Help us do that today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Good job. You can go back to your seats.
Works well for children, but learned a long time ago, you don't invite people in church to close their eyes for extended periods of time. Then you do those deep breaths, and I felt myself drifting away. We come together to worship as God's people, as the body of Christ. And as we talked about last week, it is good to worship together. There is something very significant about the body of Christ being together in worship. Amen? It is truly a time of blessing. And this morning we want to read a psalm, a psalm that is a psalm of praise, one that will challenge us, one that will remind us. It's Psalm 145. If you have your Bible, you'd like to turn and follow along, that'd be great. Or if you didn't have your Bible with you, that's okay. There's a pew Bible there close by, next to the hymnal, hopefully in the rack there. And it's page 447 there in our pew Bible. So I invite you to read along with me. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah.
Pray with me. Gracious Father, as your children, we come together with all of our faults and imperfections and all the distractions that would pull us away, but we come together and pull our hearts together to worship you. And we know that you promised you will be with us, that you're in this place. So now, Father, we pray that we would open our hearts and that we would truly embrace who you are, to hear your words, to feel your correction, to feel your encouragement. And Father, as we lift up our voices in praise and glory to you, we pray that our worship truly would be worthy of you. Father, we know that there's a lot that does come with the assembling of ourselves together, which we value. But with that, we bring a lot of our baggage from the week. And we pray that we would take that now and place it at your feet, so that you will forgive us when we failed you, that you will forgive us when you urged us to do something we did not do, or when we knew we were doing something we shouldn't have done. God, in all those circumstances, we pray that you would continue to encourage us so that we can grow and become more like you. Father, we also pray that as we interact with people this week, that we would be sensitive to the needs of those around us. God, we sometimes get so preoccupied with our stuff that we miss an opportunity to minister in your name. So we pray that even as you stand by us, that we would stand by those in our workplace, and that you'd stand by those that are in our communities, that Father, that you would use us in a way that would give glory to you, even as we help a friend or a neighbor or even someone maybe we do not know that you send our way. God, we know there are a lot of people that are hurting, loved ones, people that have received within our body and outside of our body that have received diagnoses this week, which are very troubling. But God, we know that you are sufficient for all of our needs. So we rest in you. We thank you for the glory of this day, and we praise you for all that you will do through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. you would, please pray with me. Lord, as we come into this place this morning, knowing that you are here with us, Lord, we praise you for your faithfulness. Lord, for your love that sees beyond who we are. Lord, for your love who loves in spite of who we are. We give you praise. Lord, we thank you as well for all the blessings that you give us day after day. Lord, for homes to live in and friends and family. Lord, for the ability to feel safe. Lord, to not have to wonder where our next meal is coming from. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for your provision. And Lord, we ask that you would be with us as we walk through our days, Lord, that we would see the needs around us, and Lord, that we would share what you have given to us. And Lord, as we bring our tithes and our offerings this morning, Lord, help us to give generously so that your will can be done in this building, in this neighborhood, and around the world, that your name might be known. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
spite of it all, your love always stays the same. Hallelujah.
We are going to read a story this morning that you have probably read numerous times. You've probably had it read to you numerous times. You've probably had at least one vacation Bible school story based on it, one Sunday school story, probably a training union or discipleship a story about it. But we're going to hash it all out again today and see if we can see something new, something that God's going to teach us today through a story that we know well. It comes from John chapter 6, and the next couple of weeks we're going to be in John chapter 6, but today we're going to read, I know the bulletin says through like verse 21 or something, but I changed my mind after we printed that. We're reading up through verse 15. We're going to take it in bite-sized pieces, so it'll be verses 1 through 15. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. You notice there's an exclamation point there. At least there is in my Bible. I would dare say it was said with an exclamation point. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that area, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. And Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they'd all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. And Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. He withdrew again. He retreated. Retreated. Retreat. Retreat can be a verb. And when it's a verb, it means the act of going backward or withdrawing, used perhaps in a military sense or even in a spiritual or emotional sense for us. Retreat can also be a noun, where it means a period of seclusion or solitude, time to regroup. When I think of retreat, I picture specific places. I specifically picture 20-some-odd acres up near Hendersonville. I specifically picture a football field up at Ridgecrest. I specifically picture a different kind of mountains, but glorious nonetheless, in Glorieta, New Mexico. I specifically picture the sand and the surf of Garden City, South Carolina. Retreat. Get away. Scripture tells us, the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Tiberias, was such a place for Jesus. Now, I've read about the geography in this area, and it's not quite the lush green mountainside that I've envisioned in my mind. It's probably more like the Glorieta Mountains. It's not a place where there's overabundance of plant life, although the scripture here said there was plenty of places for them to sit down on the grass. Nonetheless, the place of retreat that Jesus chose here is probably more like the Nevada desert than it is like Winston-Salem, okay? It was a barren, somewhat empty landscape where you could see and tend to the life that's within in order to see the life that might otherwise remain hidden. In other words, at first glance, you would say, well, nothing exists there, but as you look closer, you would be able to see all the life that's just beyond first glance. You see, that too serves as retreat for Jesus. That's where he went. Especially when life overwhelms and separation is needed from that busyness. Remember last week, we were talking how busyness just kind of weighs us down. Sometimes we need to retreat. And to such bare wilderness as so it appears, Jesus withdrew. He retreated. As we sometimes need to do as individuals, hopefully as a church in small groups or Sunday school classes or families, we all need retreats. Jesus did it. What makes us think that we're any stronger than he is? He did it. But the multitude followed him. They saw him going around, going across the sea. They probably ran around the coast following him because they showed up shortly after he arrived. He just couldn't get away. Retreats are kind of like that sometimes. You just can't quite get away. They unravel a little bit on us. You know, the phone has this way of ringing. I know this from personal experience because about a month or so ago, I tried to take the week off. But I stayed in town. It didn't work. It didn't work at all. You know, retreats can unravel on us. The children have this thing about occasionally needing to be parented, you know. or the spouse needs the meal on the table or the grass mowed or something like that. Retreats can unravel on us. Even if you pack your bags and go out of town, even if you leave town, you have that thing about money. Money just has this nasty tantrum of running out. Can you believe that? It'll run out on you right on vacation. You got to come home. Or the boss has this really irritating expectation of you actually coming back home to earn your paid vacation. You know, really, really inconsiderate. Reality can interrupt a perfectly good retreat. It interrupted Jesus. It interrupted him. The multitudes came. And the multitudes were noisy at the most inopportune times. Kind of like we're in a high and holy moment in here, okay? And all of a sudden we hear an emergency vehicle pass by outside with the sirens blaring. Now, I know that some people get irritated with that, but let me tell you my perspective on it. I think it's a good reminder to us that while we are worshiping our God, there are people that are hurting all around us, right? There are people hurting all around us. And when I hear an emergency vehicle go by or see one go by, lights, siren, those type of things, my mind goes to a place where I'm praying for whoever they're going to respond to, for their needs, whatever that is, as well as for the needs and safety of those who are responding. Amen? That's what we should be thinking about, not how dare they interrupt our worship time. Because retreats can be interrupted by reality. It's kind of also like when kids are talking too loud, especially sometimes, probably more a problem in 9 o'clock service or more an occasion, not a problem, or maybe when cinnamon rolls hit the ground or, you know, the juice is spilled. Sometimes we get irritated, but think about it. We're in a time where we are praising the God who gives us everything. We're praising the God who gives us children. We're praising the God who gives us life and life eternal. And everything should come into perspective based on that. Reality sometimes can interrupt our retreats. Jesus had those moments, and Philip, bless his heart, Philip shared in these moments. Verses 5 and 6, read it again. Where shall we, this is Jesus speaking, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He's asking Philip. But then Scripture tells us he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. I have a lot of sympathy for Philip in this passage. I really do. I feel for this guy. Remember a couple weeks ago when we were talking from Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and we talked about the fact that Jesus sent the disciples out two by two? You remember that? Help me, choir. What did he tell them to take with him? Nada. Not a thing. Basically says, go on out there. Don't take what you need for the journey. It'll be supplied to you. So they were probably carrying very little on this day too. And these thousands of hungry people show up. And Jesus is asking Philip where to find enough to feed these people. I can imagine Philip's response. Perhaps maybe even rolling his eyes a little bit and quoting Jesus' words back to him. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belt. Hello, Jesus, make up your mind. That's what you told us. Now you ask us where we're going to feed these. I can sympathize with Philip. I really can. Because I think the church is always getting asked the same question. Where are we going to find the resources to fill in the blank? Where and how can we ever do what needs to be done when there's just a few of us faithful left? Sounds really pious, but do you see the trap? In John's gospel, Jesus has a way of perpetually being misunderstood in order to make a point. When all of the resources that are added up in response to his inquiry, when they're all added up, you end up with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Now, if you divide that by 5,000 men plus all the women and children, that's a pretty thin sliced bread. I mean, that is very thin sliced. We're talking crumbs won't even get it done. You know, and Philip, being the pragmatist, being the bean counter, and we need bean counters in the church, we do. But here's a guy and he says, 6 months' wages wouldn't buy enough for them each to get a bite. 6 month wages. And who's got 6 months wages? And even if we had 6 months wages, where are we going to buy it after hours, Jesus? Where are we going to buy it? And never mind the fact we don't have any money. You told us not to bring it. As I said, John's gospel thrives on misunderstanding. When Jesus asked Philip to find dinner, everybody starts scampering around, turning over stones and raiding little boys' picnic baskets, okay? And they come back, and nobody really seemed to get the point of the retreat, which is where the story begins and what's implicit in Jesus' question. You see, retreats are for looking inside, and then with what you find out by looking inside, you're able to see outside in a completely different way. Retreats are to help us regain our perspective on eternity. You could say it this way, it's to allow us to once again see things through God's eyes. In this case, retreat is about discovering the one who would later in this chapter, after he walks on water, will call himself the bread of life. And for good reason, because lo and behold, all are fed with 12 baskets left over. And the question we all have is what? What's the question? How'd he do it? Yeah, how in the world did he do it? How did he do it? Now, I've heard the stories, I've heard the theories, I've heard the speculation. One of the most popular is, you know, the fact that you got this little boy, and because he gave up what he had, he kind of shamed everybody else into giving up what they had, right? You know, they had stuff stashed in their robe, you know, a little snack, you know, pack of nabs or something. They go, okay, all right, you know. The boy gave what he had because everybody knows you always have plenty of food at a potluck meal, right? And so they just all came. I've heard that, and that would be a really good story, and it would have a great moral, and you know, that's certainly a good story on sharing that we need to teach our children. But that's not our story. That isn't what's going on here. And the clue to that, I believe, comes in what John reveals about Jesus. As he asks his question, Scripture tells us he already knew what he was going to do. So then we go back, well, what's the point then? The act of feeding traces not to the boy's generous contribution, nor to a crowd's belated sharing of what they have, although those would be good stories. That's not our story. The story here traces to Jesus, the bread of life, the one who can fill the hunger. Now, I understand completely this is a miracle story. I understand that. As a matter of fact, it is the only miracle story that's recorded in all four Gospels. Do you know that? It's the only miracle that's in all four Gospels. Therefore, I believe that the early church, this tells us that the early church viewed this as hugely significant. But I also like to read it as a parable. A parable. John's recounting of this episode kind of lends itself to reading as a parable. After all, John alone records Jesus thinking even as he asked the question. The answer to the predicament was already in his mind before he even asked the question to Philip. And I take this as a parable concerning the church, a parable that asks us as a church, where exactly do we look for the resources that will meet the needs that are set before us? The disciples led by Philip did the natural and pragmatic thing in this episode. When they were given us a problem, you know, they went out and they checked out the crowd and they added up everything that they found. And that represents one level of faith. It does, namely do an inventory. See what we have on hand. See what resources we have. But what they found in what they brought to the table was a very unsettling scarcity. 5,000 plus 5 loaves, 2 fish. But in Christ, the scarcity somehow, unexplainedly, at least that we know of, was sufficed. How'd he do it? when we look at the church today, at least churches that don't have pastors on television who sit in big red velvet chairs gilded in gold, or churches that don't have attitudes that reek of, well, we don't need to wait for heaven because we've got it all here now. The rest of us churches, I think, can use this as a parable to teach us about dependence on God. The multitudes will still come, seeking food for stomach or spirit, seeking shelter from abusers and oppressors, seeking clothing that shelters the body from the elements or from hatreds, seeking justice from injustices all around, and sometimes even within the church. They will still come. And when you add all those needs up, and then you place them alongside the needs and add them to the needs that we have within the body of Christ, and then you put those up against the resources that we have available, there's an extraordinary imbalance, or so it would seem. We're talking about 5,000 plus standing and waiting while we scratch up 5 loaves of day-old bread and a couple of pan-sized trout. That is, if you only count the stuff that you can see and taste and measure and hold. But the church is more than the sum total of its parts. The church is the body of Christ. And when Christ works through us, even new math can't keep up with the multiplication, the division, and the addition that's at work. Here's what you have, where 5 loaves divided by 5,000 plus leaves more than you started with. Where one faith multiplied by 12 disciples, according to the book of Acts, produces what even the naysayers will have to admit is a world turned upside down. Where one congregation far distant from any denominational headquarters can make a difference in the entire world. Where one Christian life can impact generations to come simply by choosing to live faithfully in her or his time. Where do we find the unseen resources to do those kind of things, to be those kind of people? This lesson tells us very clearly we find our resources for that in Jesus Christ, who dwells of all the most unlikely and unexpected places among us, within us. Remember last week talking about we are the temple of God's Spirit. We are the body of Christ. Can you imagine that? Can you wrap your mind around that? More importantly, can you really trust that? That, to me, is the ongoing miracle of this story. To see that what we have, who we are, is sufficient for the needs that come our way or that come from within. So long as we remain rooted in Christ, as long as we take the time to discover the one who is able to feed, heal, and save us, and that Christ is able to do such things through the likes of us. So long as we remember to look for the bread of life that is sufficient for our needs. That is truly miraculous. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we don't know how you do it or even why you do it. Why you would choose to use us. But we're thankful. We're thankful that you do give us a purpose in our lives, a purpose that glorifies you through the miraculous that you do every day. God, help us to see that with your eyes. Help us to see the world around us with your eyes. Help us to see the possibilities rather than the problems. Help us to be part of your solution rather than just repeating the problem over and over. That will take extraordinary patience on your part as you work with us to teach us how to do all of that. We thank you that you are a patient, compassionate, loving God who cares about all of our little quirks and all of our needs. And we pray that we would trust you more completely today and in the days to come. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you do not know this one I've spoken of, Jesus of Nazareth, the bread of life, he invites you to have an eternal relationship with him. I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive him, how you can ask him to be your Lord and Savior. I'll be here at the front. We'll sing in just a moment. But if you don't want to come down here, call me this week. I'll be glad to meet with you and talk. If you're here this morning, you say, I am a believer, but I'm not sure what that kind of trust looks like. What you've been describing this morning, I'm really not sure what that looks like. Talk with God, or either right where you're standing, or you can, I'll be glad to share with you and talk with you and pray with you. You may be here and you say, I'd like to be a part of this body in an official capacity as a member of College Park. There are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share those with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. Every time we sing that hymn, I tell myself, I'm going to tell them the story about Mylon Lefevre, the man who wrote that song. And one of these days I'm going to. So y'all remind me. If you don't hear it in the next couple months, y'all remind me to tell you the story, the encounter I had with Mylon and him telling me about his life and him writing that song and everything that occurred surrounding that. So y'all remind me at some point to do that. All right? Do that. You head this way. I want to let you know that in the 9 o'clock service, we had two young ladies. The Smith girls, Addie and Lael, came and they wanted to let everyone know that they've received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And next Sunday morning, during this service, we will have a time of baptism for those two girls and Marshall Allen. We'll have three that will be baptized next Sunday morning. So you be in prayer for them this week, and we'll look forward to a great time of worship together next week, okay? Before you go, after we have our benediction and response, greet one another, greet our guest. Love and encourage one another as we go from this place. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the time to be together, to worship you, to hear from your word, and to hear from you directly how much you love us and what you want us to be, to give you the glory for the lives that you've given us. And we thank you for the life that you've given us today. And we thank you for life eternal through Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.